Okay, so welcome to this retreat. Is everybody here? Supposed to be here? Everybody present? Yeah? Okay, yeah. I think there might be a few more people coming in here, but maybe we can just start. And just to start off, I'm sure you have already received some guidance from Bianca about how these retreats actually work. So you probably know all about the eight precepts and these kind of things. Now, one of the things that you will have seen, no doubt, is the schedule. This is the schedule sheet that I made up yesterday. I just made something up which seemed nice to me. I know that I've heard that some of you are on the meditation retreat for the first time. And because of that, sometimes it's quite handy to have a little bit of structure when you are on a retreat for the first time. So because of that, I know that Bianca has also written out a sheet which has kind of walking meditation, sitting meditation, you know, sort of slotted in between. So that is there for your guidance. So if you feel like following that kind of structure, whereby you have a very clear sitting, walking, please do so if that's helpful for you. If you don't want to follow that, you don't have to. It's really up to you. It's your retreat, and basically you can do whatever you like on this retreat. It's very nice. If you don't want to come to the talks, don't come to the talks. If you don't want to come to the guided meditation, don't come to the guided meditation. Basically, do whatever you like. And then, when you do whatever you like, you can relax and you can feel at ease and you can have a nice retreat here. It is so important to be able to relax and to feel at ease. The purpose of a meditation retreat is to feel good, feel at ease, feel happy, feel good about yourself. That is the main purpose of this. If you don't feel good about yourself during meditation, and the whole purpose of meditation really is like destroyed. It's not, there is no purpose anymore, because that is what it's all about. I don't know if there's anything else that needs to be said about the structure. I think, does anybody have any questions about the structure here? Or yes, the back there. Yeah, okay. I'll bring that up as well. So if I forget about it, please remind me afterwards, okay? Yeah. I'll talk about that afterwards. So first of all, just starting out, I'd like to talk just a little bit about the common problems in meditation, the things that you should not be doing, just to have some kind of ground, basic ideas, particularly for those of you who come for the first time, to have some basic ideas about what you shouldn't be doing and how to tell if you're going in the wrong direction. So as I said, the first point is to have basically a good time. If you have a good time, if you're enjoying yourself, the meditation is working, then you have possibility in the future of making progress in meditation. And that is what it's all about, making some sort of progress whereby you feel a sense of peace or satisfaction or joy even. So if the meditation doesn't work, if the retreat is not fun and happy, there's no way that you're going to make progress in the future. It's so important to have that sense of relaxedness and ease on the meditation retreat. Now, one of the big mistakes, and I want to start off with the mistakes, first of all, one of the biggest mistakes that people do on retreat, and I see this again and again around the world, see this wherever you go, is a kind of standard problem that everybody has, and it seems to be very deeply ingrained in the human psyche. And this is the fact that if you have a lot of pain, it's good. If you have a lot of pain and you can endure pain and you can sit and you can have like, you know, just sort of be there with the pain or whatever over long periods of time, it is sometimes people think it is good. But really, the reality is that for the vast majority of people, pain is going to be a hindrance to your meditation practice. So don't try to be like a hero who sits through lots of pain, because chances are that it's going to detract from meditation practice. What happens when you have pain is that the body becomes important. The body is important because the mind doesn't want the pain. So the mind goes to the body to try to solve the problem of the pain. And because it tries to solve the problem of the pain, the body becomes important for the mind. And that is the last thing you want on a meditation retreat. Meditation is about the mind becoming peaceful. It's not to be concerned about the body at all. So pain is going to detract. So basically what this means is that if you sit and you find that the pain that you're having, it recurs again and again and your mind goes back to it, don't move straight away. But when you see that something is becoming a problem, don't be afraid of moving your posture. Don't be afraid of sitting on a chair or a stool if you have to. Don't be afraid of just moving your legs or moving your back or whatever it is you have to do. Do anything you have to do to feel comfortable. So when a pain, when you see that your mind goes back to the pain two or three times, that is the time when you should change your posture. So this is the first principle of meditation practice. Don't try to be some kind of hero in meditation and sit with lots of pain. And this is not just me saying this. When you read the suttas, the way the Buddha taught the Dhamma, he said the middle way here. And the middle way, one of the extremes in the middle way, is what they call in Pali, it's called Atta Kilamatanu Yoga, which means like tormentation of the body, tormenting the body here. And this is the wrong way, said the Buddha. Why? Because it's painful. That's what he said. It's dukkha. And meditation is not supposed to be painful. And of course, the other side of that story is the indulgence in the body. Now, the chances that you're going to be able to indulge too much is not so great on a retreat like this. But try to avoid, first and foremost, that pain in the body. The other disadvantage of the pain, not only does it take the mind out to the body, which you don't want, but also it tends to make you negative and sometimes upset and angry and irritated because we don't want pain. We don't like that. And if you find yourself getting negative and upset or whatever in meditation, again, it's going to be a tremendous hindrance to meditation practice. Anger is exactly the opposite of what we're trying to cultivate in meditation. So for that, this is the first problem. Try to avoid. Don't have too much pain. If you need to change your posture, don't be afraid of doing that. Don't look at what people around you are doing. If people around you are sitting for 2 hours, let them do that. It's fine. If you can only sit for 10 minutes, that's perfectly okay. Watch yourself. Look at your own progress. Look at your own body and mind. That is what is important. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing here. Now, the second danger in meditation that you should be avoiding is using too much force in the mind. And to understand what it means to use too much force, this is one of the reasons why the word concentration is not always a very good translation for meditation. The word in Pali is samadhi, and often, usually, it's translated with concentration. But usually when we talk about concentration in the Western world, we mean like forcing the mind onto a particular object for a sustained amount of time. And to understand the problem with that, think of yourself. If you are at work, for example, and you have to write a report, you don't particularly enjoy writing that report, or you have to read something you don't really enjoy. And what you have to do in those cases, you have to force your mind onto what you're doing here. And you know that after a long day of having to force your concentration onto something, you feel tired afterwards. You feel exhausted. And this is the usual result of concentration in the world, is you feel tired and exhausted. So be very careful. That is the wrong kind of concentration in Buddhism. It's not about forcing your mind at all. It's a natural concentration that we're trying to achieve. It's a concentration that comes by itself. Because the meditation is relaxing, it's happy, it's joyful, it's peaceful, it has a sense of metta, kindness, love, compassion, then it's easy to be in the present moment. It's easy to be with the object because it's beautiful. It's not difficult anymore. And then the concentration happens all by itself. So what you will find is that if you use too much force, then just like in ordinary life when you use your mind to do a particular project, you get tired. And after a while, when you get tired, the mind starts to wander because it doesn't want to be there with the object anymore. You start to think about things. You start to fantasize about things. You start to wander all over the place. And you lose any sense of direction in your meditation practice. Or you get tired. You find yourself falling asleep, being slothful, the mind not being bright, the mind not being clear. And this is another example of what happens when the mind gets tired. Either it gets restless, you think a lot, or it gets tired and you don't get anywhere. So this is the result of using force in a meditation practice. So the most important thing is to allow the meditation to happen as naturally as possible. Don't use force. Allow the focus on the meditation object to come by itself. It is very, very important, I think. Otherwise, the vast majority of people use too much force, And they can get some way, but after a while, the mind doesn't want anymore. It rebels, and all things start to go wrong here. So there's two pitfalls that people often fall into. So what then should we be doing in meditation practice? And what we should be doing, what we're here to try to do, is to be able to sustain the attention on a meditation object. For example, if you do breath meditation, you want to be able to sustain your attention on the breath. So how do you do that? Well, to do that, first of all, you have to give rise to mindfulness. Mindfulness is the presence of the mind in the present moment. You're able to be here, right now, with a sense of clarity, with a sense of ease. You're just here, just now. And you can feel the moment. You don't think, not thinking too much. You're just enjoying being here. That is what mindfulness is like. And that mindfulness is the starting point, usually, for meditation practice. That is what you should be aiming at, first of all, to try to achieve that mindfulness, that presence of mind. Now, to achieve mindfulness, the very first thing you need to do is to just to allow yourself to become peaceful. And how do you do that? Well, first of all, it's just in a place like this, it isn't that difficult. All you have to do is just to feel the atmosphere of this place. Go, whatever you do, it doesn't matter. You don't have to sit in here all the time. You can go for walks in the bush. You can walk around the retreat center. You can sit in your room. Whatever you do, it is not that difficult to feel the peace in this place. If you live in the city or any of the suburbs or whatever, this place is just so much more peaceful than anywhere in the city, anywhere in the suburbs. Just allow that peace to come into you. Allow, feel the peace around you. And when you feel the peace around you, it starts to enter you. It starts to come inside, and your mind becomes peaceful, and you start to calm down. So try to feel the peace, and make sure that while you are here, make that peace a priority while you're here. So, in other words, making it priority is to understand the importance of peace in your life. And I'm sure that the vast majority of you who are here today, you understand why peace is important. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. This is why you're here, because you understand that peace and tranquility, these things matter in life. But remind yourself of that again and again, because even though you're only here for a day and a half, the mind will tend to sort of sometimes drift back to your ordinary life, drift back to this, thinking about the future. Because, and the reason the mind does that, because it's a habit. We do this all the time. So whenever you do that, remind yourself, you only got a day and a half, maybe a little bit more. So give this priority. Now is your chance to have peace. Don't waste it. This is a precious opportunity. It may not come back again for a long time. So remind yourself the importance of peace. And when you remember the importance of peace, you know what peace feels like. It's a beautiful feeling inside. You feel at ease, you feel relaxed, you feel everything is nice. How wonderful that is. Remind yourself of the beauty and try to feel the atmosphere here in the retreat center. And as you do that, as you make the peace important, as you feel the atmosphere, you start to calm down. You become more peaceful. What you also can do, if some of you may have had some experiences in life where you have been very peaceful, bring those experiences to mind. Remember that time when you were absolutely still, absolutely peaceful. You had lots of bliss in the mind. Everything was so beautiful. Recall that. And when you recall it, you will tend to resonate with that state that you had a long time ago, or whenever it was. And as you resonate with that, some of the feelings of that state will come back into your mind, and you start to feel peaceful again. So this is the first thing. Try to feel the peace while you're here, and understand the beauty of the peace, and recollect the beauty of that peace. And then you will incline your mind in that direction. Now the other reason why peace, why mindfulness arises, and why it is not there, is because of the purity or lack of purity of the mind. If you have a pure mind, you will be mindful. If you lack purity, you will have less mindfulness. The less purity you have, the less mindfulness you will have. So when you meditate, the most important thing is to check out your mind state. What is it like? If it isn't pure, if you have any kind of irritation, any kind of ill will, any kind of annoyance, anything like that, you can be absolutely sure that you're not mindful. Because mindful, this drags you away from mindfulness. if you have any kind of desire, anything that you would like to do rather than staying here, again, you can be absolutely sure that you're not really mindful, because this takes you away from the moment. So look at your mind state. And if the mind state isn't pure, then the first thing to do is to try to overcome that negative mind state. Try to overcome the anger. And one of the best ways of overcoming anger and negativity and irritation is to practice metta meditation, loving kindness meditation. This is so important. In the long run, this is how you're going to overcome this major obstacle, which is like anger, if you like, or hatred or negativity. So use the metta meditation. I will teach a little bit about metta meditation on this retreat. I think it's extremely important. And metta meditation gradually will help you to increase and empower your mindfulness. And when the mindfulness is strong enough, then you can actually start doing things like watching the breath. So these things go in stages, one thing after another. But be clear in your mind. Look at yourself. Are you pure? Have you got that purity there? Understand yourself. Come to know yourself. Know what's happening inside of you. And then you will know what you have to do to overcome whatever problem is there. This is very important, to come to understand oneself. So just watch a lot on this retreat. Watch your mind. Learn about yourself. And for those of you who are more experienced, remember any defilement of the mind is going to hinder the mindfulness. So overcome that defilement. Do what you have to get rid of those negative states of mind, because that is going to stop you from having success in meditation practice. So that is just a little bit of introduction on meditation and how to practice during this retreat. I'm going to give more direct instruction during the meditation practices themselves on how to become more peaceful, how to have more metta and all these kind of things. But before we go into our first meditation, I want to talk just a little bit about the meaning, the other aspect of this retreat. Because one aspect is the meditation aspect, the other is the sutta aspect. And I've been told I should say something about what sutta means, because many people here may have never heard that word before. And sutta is a Pali word which... actually, the meaning of the word is not so important. It actually means something like thread. But essentially, the meaning of sutta is a discourse of the Buddha. So, the other aspect of this retreat is to focus on those discourses of the Buddha, what the Buddha actually taught. And the discourses that I have chosen for this retreat, which I see some of you have got with you, are discourses related to meditation practice specifically. So, my idea is, on the one hand, to teach meditation. On the other hand, to show you how the Buddha taught meditation. And this is, in my opinion, extremely important, because one of the big problems in the world is that there are so many people out there, so many teachers of this tradition, of that tradition, of lay people and monastics and all kind of things. And sometimes people get so confused. What is meditation all about? What is Buddhism all about? What is this path all about? And really, there's only one thing that we all have in common as Buddhists, or people who are interested in Buddhism, if you don't consider yourself a Buddhist, and that is the teaching of the Buddha. This is the one thing that we all have in common, and it is the one anchor point that we all have. And because it is our one anchor point, we have to go back to the suttas to understand what meditation is all about. And in the end, to find out whether a teacher is good or bad, if you want to find out whether Ajahn Brahm is a good or bad teacher, or anybody else is a good or bad teacher, you have to compare what they say with the suttas. It's the only way. It's not always easy to do that, because it takes a while to get kind of your head around the thought world or how the suttas actually work. But after a while, you start to get your head around it, and then you can start to read the suttas on your own, and you can start to actually have some appreciation of what the real Buddhism is about. And this is what I want to do here. I want to help you, to sort of help you enter that world of thought, which is the word of the Buddha, and then relate it also to meditation practice, to make it very relevant for what we're actually doing here. And hopefully you will find that inspiring and interesting. And after a meditation we're going to do shortly, I will start the first sutta reading straight away. So that is the sutta, the word of the Buddha. I was also asked to talk a little bit about walking meditation. maybe I will do that tomorrow morning, because I think otherwise it might get too late. So I suggest now that we do a short meditation first of all, and then we do a sutta reading afterwards.